A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Outer Decluttering Podcast. I'm not sure I've ever been this excited, Kirst, to do an intro because today is part two with Maz Compton and we are like vibing off the charts. If you haven't listened to our episode last week, you need to go back and listen to that first, because what I guarantee is when that episode's done is you'll just play this one. So go back, and if not, welcome back, and welcome back, Kirst and Maz.
Oh, thanks. This is just the best. I'm vibing. I was just saying, like, I love having this conversation. I didn't realize how much I love having this conversation until we had like a super long conversation in the last episode. And then you guys were like, hey, let's just pause and do a second episode because we can keep talking about this. It's great.
Whenever I'm having conversations about this with people who aren't in this world, and I start talking and I get so passionate, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I have this business and why I do this podcast, because I could talk about intentional living and decluttering until the cows come home. And I, like Amy and I, like clearly that's why we have podcasts, but yeah. We get so excited and it's so lovely to meet somebody else.
it's really obvious to me that you guys are living out your purpose. Like, it's so obvious because it just looks good on you. And it's funny. I feel like you have drawn this out of me. And I know I have done the intentional living thing for a number of years now. Yeah. And it keeps manifesting and reshaping, and you know, I'm in the refiner's fire, but I feel like what you guys have set up to teach people has drawn out this part of my story, which I'm sharing with you. And that's really special. So thanks. Because I feel like I've just learned a ton about myself.
So good. I love that about you, Maz.
Sorry, I'm just giggling at your Jesus reference.
So many Jesus references. It's what happens when you grow up in a like hardcore Christian household. Like, you just, it stays with you. Like, I feel like I've reframed my faith in a way that it makes total sense to me now. But there's so many Jesus throwbacks from the 90s in my repertoire.
So, Maz, last week we left it on a cliffhanger and there were so many references to so many things that we want to dig deeper into. So you mentioned off air how you and your husband reevaluated your life when you were coming up to 40. So tell us that story.
Yeah, so I'm 41. Oh, my Lord. 41. 41 is so good.
It's the best year ever.
My husband's 3 months older than me, so it was heading into his 40th birthday extravaganza, and we kind of just had a bit of a real, like, we're really good communicators. We chat a lot. We have goals and I have vision boards and he thinks they're funny. But anyway, he actually brought it up. He was like, hey, babe, like, it's been great doing half a decade with you because we've been together about, it's about 7 years now, but he was like, what does our next decade look like? And he's like, because I would love to just think about what 50 looks like and start planning to like be awesome there. He's like, because think about, and we have it, we've done a lot of cool stuff and like some pretty wild stuff. Like we bought a house and flipped it in Brisbane. We didn't live in Brisbane. We just moved to Brisbane temporarily. Like we've done some really kind of wild things together, opened businesses. We've both been on like these really intense kind of fitness journeys. We went on fitness holidays. This is all pre-kids, obviously. So he was like, what does 50 look like? Because he's like, we're going to turn 50 in 10 years, babe. And I'm like, good point. He's like, so what, let's talk about what that looks like. And I was like, okay, well, number one for me, like I want to be financially free. So so we pretty much then and there were like, well, we don't even have a house. Like we need to probably buy a house and stop renting. So we need to save some money. Like we just had all these sort of things that spiraled out of that conversation of like, if we're going to be financially free at 50 with like our house, like a childhood home for our kids paid off, like we need to probably start making some decisions and eating less menu log, let's be real. So we kind of just like put these little plans in place for our financial life. And then the other big piece was like, what do you want to be doing when you're 50? And I was like, I don't know. I've never planned my life ahead that well. I've always just been like, I'm really cool at this thing. I keep getting given really awesome opportunities. I'll just say yes. But he was like, if you can create it, what does it look like at 50? And I was like, well, I have always wanted to kind of be a psychologist. So I enrolled in a psychology degree and I am like, it's going to probably take me between 7 to 8 years at the rate that I'm able to do it at, which is managing a business, a family and a full-time job, plus a podcast side hustle and anything else that I want to throw, plus throwing out all my things every 6 months. But I was like, well, and we kept circling back to this kind of statement of like, well, we're going to be 50 anyway. So like we can turn 50 and be like, look at all the stuff we kicked butt at in the last decade of our lives together. Or we can just turn 50 and be like, now we're 50. Great.
Here we are.
It's not about accumulating accolades or stuff other than for me, like, I don't think I wanted a house because I wanted a huge house, and it's a tiny cottage anyway, because who can afford houses in Sydney? But I wanted financial freedom for my family, where if I go to work at the age of 50, it's because I'm doing something that's going to be really powerful and I don't have to do it to pay the mortgage.
Yeah, the you're mortgage doing intentional living, Maz, intentional living. You're like, oh. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. It's just a bit too excited.
No, it's good. And so, but it's, it, and we, so when on the days when I don't feel like studying, because like who feels like studying? No one ever. But I come back to like what we're working towards, and it's this really incredible life that we're creating for ourselves and our family. And one other thing that I want to share, I just think it's a good thing for everyone to do. Like, we've done it as a couple, but we both have our own individual goals within that. And so I'm able to support Glenn in what he wants to do, and he's able to support me in what I'm able to do. And it's this really beautiful synergy. But it's just a really good chat to have with yourself of like, where, even if it's like 2 years, like what's some stuff I can put in place today that's going to make my 2 years from now sound better or more fulfilling or less stressful? And I definitely think one thing that's been a key for me is like I have really learned how to say no. And as a woman, that's been like not something I've been great at my whole life. But I have learned to say, nope, not interested, don't care, don't owe you an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a tricky one, but I'm learning it. And I think COVID helped, because there used to be a lot of, especially working in media, even after all of my aha moments, I'm back working in media. And it's so much more fun this time around because I just don't put the pressure on myself. But I think before COVID, there were all these events and things and blah, and you've got to be here and all these expectations, and that doesn't really exist anymore. So it kind of made it really easy to say no to stuff because I'm like, well, there's nothing on anyway. So we were like, let's just work this for our good. Like, let's work this all together for our good. Like, how can we like hunker down, look back on this really, really crazy season in life and go, man, we smashed it. That's kind of what keeps us chugging along. And it's not to have billions and empires and yachts and like all of that jazz, like that, because I know that that won't give me any level of joy or happiness. Mm. It's all about fulfillment. And it's all about creating a life that we can enjoy, really.
And you're not saying no for the sake of saying no. You're saying no so that you can say yes to the things that are important to you that may not be as sexy. It may be yes to a puzzle on the floor with your son rather than attending a red carpet. And so the no is part of the intentionality rather than I just don't want to do the stuff anymore.
Yeah, 100%. That fear of missing out thing is a real thing, and you can become a slave to that. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons that I quit social media is it crept. And again, if you're on Instagram, go for it. I don't hate you. That's fine. But it got to a point for me where I was like, this isn't serving me and bringing me joy. So if it isn't serving me and bringing me joy, I'm just going to be brutal and cut it out of my life. And I have not missed anything, P.S. Like, I still find out about the news. People still tell me about viral videos, which are never funny when people tell you about them. Like, do you know what I mean? And yes. So I said no to all of that so that I can be present, mainly with my family, and not be distracted by stuff that really isn't going to benefit me. And I know I'm a better parent and a better human for that.
Oh my gosh, like you're watching me, so you can see how much I'm fist pumping. And because we talk about the power of no and the power of saying no, but to be able to say no, you have to do that deep work of figuring out who you are and what your values are, what your identity is, and where do you place that identity? Do you place that identity in your outputs and who you, like what you can achieve and what work you're putting your hand to and how good or bad a mother you are or how good or bad a sister or daughter or, you know, when you, rather than it actually being about who you are inherently, no matter what you can put your hand to, no matter what productivity you can achieve, you know, no matter what, even to your point, like no matter what you get done by the time you're 50, you and your husband and your son are still going to be inherently amazing.
Yeah, I hope so.
You are. Like you are, because you already are. It doesn't like you already are amazing. And so I think that I'm getting more and more passionate about helping people to identify or to figure out who they are and their identity, because I think that that helps you figure out what your values are.
Do you know one thing just on that, that was really, really powerful for me when I stopped drinking, which is a whole, oh my God, that's like a whole, that's 10 more episodes.
Well, wasn't it a book?
Yes, I did write a book about it.
Yeah.
It's called The Social Rebellion. But end of 2014, I quit drinking as a bit of an experiment because my life was spiraling basically and I was terribly unhappy even though my life on paper looked amazing. And I, after 4 weeks of not drinking, realized like how awesome I felt. And so I just kept not drinking, and that was 7 years ago nearly. But one thing I did on that journey really early on is I had to tell myself to stop apologizing for making a good choice. Because I used to do this thing and I caught myself out all the time. So it was like a couple of months in and everyone on my team knows like, oh, Maz isn't drinking and she's just being so boring. And even though I was still there at the bar drinking soda water, still sitting in the seat next to you listening to your stupid story for the third time because you're drunk. But someone would be like, do you want a beer? And I'd be like, oh, no, sorry, I'm not drinking. Or like I would just constantly be like, no, sorry, I'm so sorry I'm not drinking. And I caught myself saying it. I'm like, why am I saying sorry? This is like my freaking choice to not drink. And I'm really proud of that choice. I'm a better person for not drinking. Why should I apologize for that? And it was just this self-check. And so I really, really carried that through on all of these little, I guess, journeys that I've been on to just not apologize for becoming self-aware enough and brave enough to do something different. And I think for anyone that's embarking on the decluttering journey, like, don't apologize to people for it. Like, unless you're being a real bitch, then sure, like, apologize. But
if you throw out the bread bin that your husband made and you ate.
Sorry. But you don't have, we shouldn't have to say sorry for trying to be my best self. You should never have to apologize for that. And when you become aware of that, you notice it all the time. You're like, oh my God, I'm always apologizing. And you have nothing to apologize for. And I just wanted to share that because that was a huge breakthrough for me when I stopped saying sorry. And I would just go, like someone would be like, oh, hey, do you want a drink? And I'd be like, yeah, I'd love a water, thanks. Oh, you're not drinking?
Everything.
Nope, not drinking. Oh, well, when did you quit drinking? 7 years ago. Oh, whoa, what? And then you have this conversation and you're not on the back foot going.
There's no judgment. Like, yeah, they don't feel judgment.
It diffuses it too, because I think the other thing, and this is just specific to drinking, but I'm sure that you guys may have encountered this when you sort of step out and do something, you know, a little bit against the grain, which I guess in the era of overconsumption and huge consumerism, decluttering really is, you know, against the grain. But it just, all you're doing is holding a mirror up to the person you're having the conversation with. And if they don't like the reflection, which is them, that's when they start getting judgy and angry. And I, again, had to learn that one where I'm like, oh, you're not mad at me for not drinking. You're mad at you for not drinking. Yeah. Oh, that's not my fault, you know?
Yeah. We've got a whole episode on judgment, and in that episode we go to town on, like, if anybody judges you, it is a reflection on them.
On them.
It's not a reflection. Like, you get to stand in your power and your choice, and you are free to do whatever you want. Right. You might have to have conversations. Like, it might be an invitation for a conversation. But that's also an invitation in relationship. Like, if your mum, let's take your husband. If your husband's frustrated that you let go of something, that's his frustration. Other than the bread board, other than the bread
tin. The bread tin. We're always going to come back to the bread tin.
Yeah. But it's an opportunity to further engage in relationship by having a conversation about something. So,
yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Maz, I want to take a little bit of a shift, and I want to talk about parenting and intentional living and decluttering and consumerism. That's the nervous shaking in the corner. Tell us your experience.
So I came to the decluttering journey pre-kid. I have one child, but I have two stepkids. They don't live with us full time. So I feel like their stuff is quite easy to manage because they don't, like, if we had them living with us full time, I think it would be a different conversation. But they would just be like, oh, Maz is just going through one of her chuck out phases again. But then, so for me, I've gone on this really beautiful journey of letting stuff go and understanding my value and my worth, and I don't need so many things to fill up my life, and I feel free and I've got room. And then I had a kid and I felt this sense of love that I've never experienced before, and this physical part of my heart lives on the outside of my body and I want him to have everything ever.
Uh-huh.
That is like the most conflicting dance that I feel that I do daily of, I don't want my kid to miss out. I don't want my kid to not have. I want everything for him.
Yeah.
And what I've had to realize is that doesn't mean buying everything for him, even though I want to. Every time we go to Kmart, I'm like, I want you to have all of the toy tools. Take the whole set home. Kid, because you deserve it, because you're my kid. Like, I made you. You're amazing.
Yes,
it blows my mind.
Love on them.
But what I've realized is, and I've been, because I was at that intentional space coming into motherhood, it's really been, I've just been living it out. I say that I'm on my parenting L plates because I have a 2.5-year-old and I'm still really trying to juggle all that kind of stuff. But what I found in a practical sense, because the overwhelming love and the wanting to spoil your kid thing, I think every parent experiences that, and it's so real. And if you aren't a parent, you are just never going to experience that until you have your own child, because I didn't feel that with my stepkids. Like, they're really cool and super fun. But like with Henry, it's just like, oh my God, like, you're a piece of meat. And you deserve everything, right? Oh, kills me. I can't even. Like, I miss him when he goes to bed. Anyway, I'm obsessed with my child. But I realized that, like, me buying him all this stuff is not going to actually benefit him at all. One, because he's only 2 years old at this stage. But two, like, I want more than what I want, more than wanting my kid to have everything, I want Henry to be resilient. I want him to be empathetic. I want him to be a great communicator. I want him to be emotionally intelligent. I want him to be some sort of joy bringer and nation shaker. That's my dream for my child, because that's the person I wanted to put on the planet. And me buying him a whole bunch of things is not going to teach him any of those lessons. And on the flip side, me not giving him anything ever is not going to teach him any of those lessons.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. It's actually the balance.
So one of the things that I did before I had a kid is I did this parenting course called, there's a book called Love and Logic. And then there's, you guys are probably across Danny Silk and his ministry, which is Loving on Purpose. I'm guessing a lot of your audience are Danny Silk fans, huge Danny Silk fan. Him and his wife have this amazing course called Loving on Purpose. It's all about keep your love on. And I've just did his parenting course, and it's about choices. Essentially, it's a parenting strategy. And I've done it with Henry since day dot. And it has been this really great thing to see that I can say no to Henry and he doesn't necessarily like that because he's two and he wants something, but he recovers really quickly. And it's not because I'm bribing him with something else, but I've empowered my kid to make choices, even at the age of two. And I think that that has gone hand in hand with the wrestle of I want to spoil you with everything, but that's not going to do any good. And so, but also me denying you access to everything isn't going to do you any good either. So for me, like that whole parenting strategy came out of that huge self-awareness journey. And I just got on the front foot of it, I think. I think it's like in the very first episode of like the parenting course, he's like, who never wants to have an argument with their kid? And I'm like, oh my God, I never want to fight with my kid. I freaking love him so much. He's like 2 months old, you know? But it works for us and we're not professionals at all at it. We're just fudging our way through, but we found it super helpful. And I think so I'm really proud of like in Henry's room, if you look at all of his things, he has things.
Yep.
All of the things that he has, he uses. He's got a ton of Duplo Lego and we play with it every day. And he's got a whole bunch of really cool books and a lot of them were friends asked me what they could buy Henry. And I was like, can you just give us your kids old books and old toys? Because that's better than you buying stuff. Yeah. So there's that whole element too. And then there's this other thing we do where like for his birthday, he did get like a couple of cool things from the grandparents, but then for his second birthday, I was like, okay, buddy, you've got some new stuff. So let's take some of the old stuff and let's give that to like the toy donation thing at Big W. And we went and did it together. And so it's like, I'm educating him on everything that I'm kind of becoming aware of in this beautiful flow. And it's a really big human experiment on if it's going to work or not, but I do. It's a good experiment. I don't think it can fail because I think at the end of the day, I just know my kid is not going to be super attached to stuff. He's going to want to chase after experiences and adventure. And that's kind of where we're at with the whole parenting thing. It's hard though, and it's hard with the in-laws and the grandparents because they're all annoying. And so, oh, like out of love, but just stop.
They feel what you feel as well, but
they feel it even more.
I want to just lavish.
Yeah. So I've had to just I've given my mum some really healthy boundaries. And this, I'm like, I'm cool with this. Anything else, run it by me. And then I was like, what another cool thing you can do if you feel like you need to spoil Henry, just go and put that $20 that you were going to buy that junk piece of crap toy on. Put it in his bank account because we're giving him that money so he can buy his first car when he's 16. Like, do you know what I mean? There's other ways. It's not about shutting the grandparents down. It's just about like redirecting their generosity. That's what I call it. Yeah. I'm like, Mum,
beautiful.
You need some direction here, lady. Stop bringing plastic crap into my house. But I've said it in a really caring way. And I think that's key too. And like, you know, back to the whole Danny Silk thing, it's like keeping your love on, you having these conversations with family who we care about, but who drive us up the freaking wall. But I don't want it to ever be a thing. I don't want to ever have a fight with my mom about her being too generous with her own grandchild.
You want to reinforce is the generosity. What you want to redirect is what that looks like.
100%.
And as the grandparents retire, that changes again. Like my parents are both retired now. And so just this last weekend, the kids went and stayed for 2 days. Like that is so much better for them. They enjoy that so much more than if they just turned up with new stuff.
A bunch of stuff.
Like, give me the time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely for kids because kids are just like quality time suckers. They love it. They can't get enough of it. So that's really cool too. My mum, so the funny thing with like my sitch is, so it's just my mum that's around and she, like Henry is her only biological grandchild at this stage. And so you can imagine it's like, it's on steroids how much she loves my child. She's literally said, she's like, I think I love Henry more than I ever loved you.
Oh, and I'm like,
that's what pet grandparents do.
Yeah.
Their job.
My dad says that to me all the time. And I love it. Oh, I love it.
I do too. But secretly, I was like, Mum, wasn't I the perfect angel child?
So imagine what you're going to be like as a grandma if you are like bursting at the seams with love for Henry. Imagine when he has children. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I do think as well, like, just on the whole bursting at the seams with love thing, like, I know what that feeling is, and I could channel it in a different way. Like, I could just spoil my kid rotten. I have the access to spoil him with everything possible. But that is not going to be the best thing for him, and I want the best for him. And so teaching him about choices, about limits, about no, about all of that stuff, I think, are the lessons that I'm trying to ingrain in him, so it's in his nature to not be this like over consumer and add to the problem when he gets older.
What I love about your story is that you are such a passionate communicator as well. So Henry is going to have the benefit of you and your husband communicating why you're making your choices. So even if he chooses differently when he's older, he is going to understand why you made those choices. And so I think that that is what is what the power that we have as human beings is to explain our choices. Like, and that's sometimes not engaging in conversation. Like, you don't have to apologize, but it is inviting relationship. It is going, well, if you'd like to know more, I can tell you why I've made those choices, and this is why I've made those choices. Like,
100%.
Because, I mean, that's why we both have podcasts, isn't it? So that we can explain to people in further detail about the choices that we're making every day.
Because it's all choices, really. Mm-hmm. My mom used to say that to me. Gosh, that was so annoying when I was like a teenager. She'd be like, but Maz, it's just your choice. Like, shut up, Mum. And now I'm like, oh, she's so right.
How annoying when the parents are right.
Yeah, right. Oh. Can I just say one thing, Kirsty, when you said how I'm a passionate communicator? Because I am. Like, it's what I'm a communicator for sure. But like, so I have this little routine with Henry at the moment where I put him in his cot, and like, he's in a cot, but we've taken the bars off so he can get in and out. So he climbs into his cot and he's got his little fox and his little sloth. And I tuck him in, and so we read a book and then I tell him a story and he gets to choose the story. So at the moment he's like, snowboarding story, Mum. So I tell him a story about when I used to be a snowboarder. And he will always say, Henry, come. I'm like, yes, darling, you'll come to the snow with me one day. Anyway, so I tell him the story and then I say goodnight. I leave the room. 5 minutes later, Henry, Mama, cuddle. Like, he's just so needy. So the other night I like went in and and it usually only happens once. I go back in, tuck him in, done. But the other night I went back in and I was like just super animated with him, and I wasn't meaning to be, but I tucked him in. I was like, okay, Henry, now here's the deal. You've had your book and a story and you've got your fox and your sloth. It is time to go to sleep. No stuffing around. And he looked me dead in the face and he goes, chill out, Mum. And I was just like, this kid just knows me like so well already. Cause I was like, yeah, I'm probably being a bit over the top.
Welcome to the rest of your parenting journey, my friend. You have a mini mirror right in front of you.
It's so fun. I've got to say, I was pretty hesitant about being a mom. Because I'm not maternal at all, but Henry just like,
yeah, they flip that switch.
It's on, like, it's so on. But I love it, and I love like how Glenn and I have evolved as parents and humans all combined in the one in 2.5 years too. Like, that's really cool to see. He's got two other kids as well, and they're challenging in different levels at different stages. But like, we've just got this cool kind of blended family dynamic that we're just kind of, I don't know, kicking along with. And to me, there's fun in that. And I wish more families would see the fun in family, like, because it's fun.
I think it's fun.
And it is also being open to growing and changing. Like I say that I'm only a 12-year-old parent. Like I've got so much to learn. I'm only 12 years old in my parenting journey and Amy's only 15 years old. Like but also I said to a friend the other day, she sent me a message about some self-actualization, you know, like she's growing in her understanding of herself. And I said, it only just keeps getting better. It's hard.
Yeah.
And it is hard work to be self-reflective and to understand yourself, but it just gets better and I am not the same person I was when I met my husband. I'm not even the same person I was yesterday, because this conversation has opened me up to even more things.
And I've been writing notes, Maz.
I know.
That's cool.
That's why, clearly that's why we have podcasts, because we love sharing stories and we love growing and learning together. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being
here. No, thank you. Hey, one final thing. Because I'm just telling everyone this now because it blew my mind. But I don't remember who it was. It was a friend or a friend of a friend, and this came up in conversation. We were talking about how, like, we're in our 40s, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, did you guys have this moment when you're like, oh, like, what were my parents doing when they were 40? Yeah, when I turned 37, I realized that was the age that my mum was when she moved from the UK with two kids and my dad who wanted to do Bible college and she didn't have a choice. And like this whole, I was like, oh, that's what my mum did when she was 37 and now I'm at that age. And someone said to me, yeah, so you know the crazy thing about being a parent is that your kids are watching you grow up. And I was like,
mind blown.
Yes, they are. Because that's what's happening. Like I'm evolving and growing and learning and developing, and they are like they have a front row seat to that blew me away, but also made me so excited about that continuum of learning and growing and developing and these conversations and empowering people to at least start the journey, you know.
Oh, Maz. If we didn't have another meeting in 4 minutes, we would just, you know, roll into episode number 3. But I get a sneaking suspicion this is not the end of the Maz, Amy and Kirsty conversation.
No, this is definitely the beginning of something very special.
It really is. Cool. This is only the second time that I've got to know you, but I love you, Maz. I really think that your heart and who you are has got so much to offer the world, and you've offered so much, but I think this next season for you is going to blow your mind. I think you're going to get to 50 and you're going to look back and go, oh, I wish I could have told my 40-year-old Maz what this decade was going to be, because I've got goosebumps. I'm so excited for
this thanks, season. Guys.
I'm pretty stoked that we've recorded it in history on a podcast.
I just want to thank you guys for just what the platform that you've given me is really amazing, because I wouldn't have realized all this stuff in me without coming to you. And I know initially that was like because I wanted you guys to talk about the pillar of health of environment on my podcast, but like, isn't it amazing how crazy things get and how interwoven and connected this all feels? So, and yeah, this is not our last chat at all.
Oh, it's not, baby.
Thank you. And yeah, thank you for letting me talk about myself, which is something I do a lot.
We love it. I can't wait for our listeners to be tuning into your podcast now too. So we'll put links to it, but give a shout out now and then we'll put links to it in the
So the Wellness Rebellion is my podcast and season 2 is dropping soon, but season 1's already up there and out there, and Amy, our chat is coming up this season, this next coming season. Yay.
listeners, have an amazing week. We would love you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you over in our Facebook community. We've clocked over 20,000 members in the last couple of days. So come over. There's lots of people there who, like you, are on this journey and want to connect and learn from you as well. Maz, thank you, and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.